Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Cherie, who is here with us practicing as a visiting monk for the month. You might be able to hear the frogs in the background just to authenticate that we really are at the monastery. and she's here this afternoon to talk with us about some of what she's been looking at in terms of the importance of really seeing self-hate and kind of what that affords us in terms of being able to practice when we can really see self-hate for what it is and be able to go beyond it. So first of all, welcome, Cherie.
Thank you, Jen. It's nice to be here.
So, you know, you were talking about this recently, and it really got me thinking that it would be such a great topic to talk about on the radio show because it's so widely applicable, I think, to everyone in the Sangha. And you were saying a little bit about how you've done a lot of practice for many, many years, but that for you, a really critical piece, a big turning point was recognizing the existence of self-hate. And I wonder if you could say a little bit about, you know, what about that has been so impactful for you in practice?
Well, you know, I went to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat a little over a year and a half ago and saw, you know, big time self-hate, how it impacts, what it is, and how obvious it is. And then it sort of went underground and became very insidious, and I didn't notice it as much. And on this month, I've been able to really see it more clearly and see how it sort of gets its start rather innocuously. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's, you know, I don't know if it's like this for everybody, but for me, I notice that, you know, I'll indulge in a little, you know, so-called benign noodling. And then it just kind of makes its way into, you know, once it snags my attention, you know, and my attention is gone, then it kind of makes its way into mental complaining, something's wrong with something or someone, and then it becomes, sort of slides into self-hate. And at that point, you know, I get a jolt of pain, which sort of wakes me up, and I'm like, oh, okay, it sounds like self-hate, so... you know, actually the pain can kind of be a good thing because it wakes me up. And there you are, if I can just keep paying attention, you know.
Yeah, that's such an interesting point, that the pain, although it's the part we want to avoid and we don't like it and it doesn't feel good, when we learn what the source is, which you're pointing at, you've realized that anytime that pain, that suffering, we could say, is there, it's an indication that self-hate is at play. You know, Cherie recently wrote about in her blog talking about there's no such thing as being depressed without believing self-hate. And so to me, that's what you're pointing at, that when you find yourself in that suffering place, it's a huge red flag. Okay, wait, self-hate is happening here. And as you say, it can be under the radar screen, but to use those cues to really start watching for it and not letting it do what it does.
Yeah, and I also noticed that I was really having a big conditioning storm on Sunday afternoon, and what I noticed was that I was resisting that pain. And when I dropped the resistance and just accepted the pain as it was arising in that moment, that while it didn't feel great, there wasn't a problem anymore. And all became okay.
Yes, exactly. That the only problem, if you will, was the self-hate on top of all of it. That when we don't believe the self-hate, anything that's going on is completely fine. And in fact, there's such a relief in that, I project.
Yes, there is a big relief. And I've also noticed that, you know, not only does it, you know, beat me up, but then I end up also projecting it onto other people. And, you know, I think I hate somebody, or I think that somebody hates me. And, you know, it just can really be just darn ugly.
Yeah. Well, and that, thank you for saying that. That winds us back to kind of what I think was so impactful about what you were speaking of when you first started talking about this, which is that before having that tool pointed out, I mean, we could have a lot of practice tools in our tool belt, But if we don't have the self-hate, if we don't know the existence of self-hate, then of course it's going to get a hold of those tools and beat us with those that, well, I mean, see, you do awareness practice, you should be whatever, whatever. But with that added tool of knowing the existence of self-hate, then that really allows us to see what's going on and to not believe it.
Yeah, a number of years ago, self-hate convinced me to quit practicing for 8 years. And then 5 years ago, the suffering became bad enough that, you know, I was either going to suicide or become an alcoholic. I don't know many people who plan on becoming an alcoholic, but I just couldn't stand the pain. And I found this practice, and it's made all the difference. And one thing that self-hate really doesn't want us to know about is that we can begin again in every moment. We don't have to listen to it tell us how awful we are, how we're, you know, failing at doing this practice thing. We just start again in every moment, and a sense of humor helps too.
Yeah, no kidding. And from what I'm remembering, that at that turn, so you were talked out of practice, it got really, really bad. Then you found this particular practice, and that's where the piece of self-hate really clued you in. Oh my gosh, that's what's been going on all these years, is that self-hate has gotten a hold of the practice.
That's right. That's I don't know of any other, you know, practice that talks, that points out self-hate as, and you know, and resistance as being, you know, big problems. It's like the, you know, invisible gorilla in the room. It's a big problem. And knowing about it has also helped me to be able to forgive my father, who was a raging alcoholic and quite abusive. And I realize now that was self-hate. It was not personal to me. And he was just projecting his self-hate out, and he was so miserable. You know, I just feel such compassion for him now. It's made all the difference.
Boy, that's powerful. Yeah, to realize that self-hate is what we're all up against. Yeah. So you mentioned that you came to the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, so I just wanted to underline that that's such a fabulous way to, not only for folks who don't really, haven't seen the self-hate in their lives, because as you say, it's hard to imagine once you see it that it's subtle, but it is subtle when you don't really realize it, when you haven't practiced with it. And then There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat is such a great way to really, really highlight what self-hate is doing, the role that it's playing in our lives, and allow us to begin to move beyond it. And for folks who, you know about it, but, you know, just keep finding themselves in that place where conditioning takes over practice, I think it's a really nuts and bolts, good nuts and bolts kind of hands-on retreat to walk us through the process of going beyond that.
Yeah, I plan to attend another There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, because I think you just keep, you know, taking layers off and going deeper. And so, you know, it'll be, you know, sort of the same retreat, but different, because I'll be at a different place and I'll be able to see different things.
Yeah, really, really well put. Sheree, thank you so much for being with us. Anything else you want to say before we end?
Hi, Michael.
All right. Thank you so much. And Michael, we'll let you start the show.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Sheree. And welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. Great to have you here, Jen.
Fun to be here, Michael.
And that was a fun conversation.
Yeah, I just so appreciated that. I mean, I can kind of forget, you know, because we've been practicing for a really long time and we know the tools and all that, but to be reminded of how important it is, I mean, even how lucky we are to even know that self-hate exists so that we don't have to be ruled by it.
Yeah,
amazing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like the hidden puzzle piece.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I see people sometimes and I project they're identified, you know, I almost want to say, you know, it's not you. Don't
yeah.
worry about it. You know, it's just this force, and you can call, you know, we call it self-hate and other practices call it something else. And it's just so inspiring for me to know that here's this force, and practice has helped me to see what it is and how it works, which gives me a much better chance of going beyond it.
Well, and that's the thing, isn't it, right? Because it could sound so funny to say, gosh, it's inspiring to know that self-hate exists. but it is, in the sense of,
yes.
because knowing it releases us from believing it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And truly, it can just become that, you know, the analogy we often use, it can just become the annoying neighbor. You know, you can't necessarily stop it.
Yes.
But you don't necessarily need to.
Yes. Yes, it's great. And it was great to bring it up more in my consciousness than usually, you know, it tends to be.
You mean hearing the interview?
Yeah, hearing the interview.
Yeah.
I mean, for those of us who've been practicing for a while, it can be for me, self-hate.
Yeah.
But what came to me as you were talking is the sense of, you know, anytime I feel bad, anytime I'm suffering, that's self-hate.
Yep. Me too. And you know what I love about that is that what you're saying kind of in that process of, you know, someone starts talking about self-hate and it reminds you to really look at it and go to that experience.
Yes.
I love how Sangha does that for us.
Yeah.
You know, we listen to the radio show or we listen to an archive or we go to group or we listen to our own recordings, you know, we made years ago. And,
yes.
You know, an old theme cycles back through and it feels fresh and brand new and exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank goodness for practice.
Thank goodness for practice.
And I have some announcements here.
Okay.
We have two at-home practice opportunities coming up. On Saturday, March 16th, there's an at-home retreat. It's entitled Turn on the Light.
Perfect.
Bring the light of awareness into your own home with a day of guided meditation, facilitated groups, and exercises.
Those are always really, really fun days.
Yes. Love the title. Love the focus. That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a week later, on Saturday, March 23rd, is Guidance Day for monthly donors. Look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced practitioner via phone or Skype.
Fun.
Yeah, fun. And the There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat will be offered at the monastery April 13th through 20th, and then again May 4th through 11th.
And I think we just did the commercial for that one, huh?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Yep.
It's a fabulous 8-day retreat about having compassion for yourself and for everyone. And as I think Cherie mentioned, it's a great first retreat and also a great retreat to repeat every few years.
Yeah, and she also really underlined that what you just said about compassion for yourself and for everyone. You know, it just that is the impact it has, you know, that powerful awareness of realizing it's not that, you know, my father hated me and that I was a terrible kid. It's that he had hideous self-hate. You know?
Yeah.
So powerful to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And as she mentioned, the compassion that comes with that realization.
Yep. Yep.
So visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to see the schedule or to sign up for any of these events.
Great.
Great. And let's talk to our callers.
Let's do it.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Pasha.
Hey,
can
Pasha.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Hey,
sounds like Jane. You're in a restaurant or something.
Well, I'm outside of work, but if it's too noisy, I can...
No, I can hear you. Sure. I can hear you.
Okay, great. So I'm calling you from within the app, which is very exciting. Yeah. And what a perfect good news update. It perfectly speaks to a place where I was... just before last Saturday,
uh-huh.
when we had our guidance day,
yep.
From the monastery,
yep.
it felt to me, I mean, at first there was kind of a lot of struggle after the email class in terms of like changing the behavior,
mm.
And then right before the guidance appointment, I start to hear the voices saying, well, you don't need a guidance, you know, like, you know, there's nothing there, like,
yeah.
nothing there new, and so on. So
You might just cancel that appointment, really. I mean.
Yeah, exactly. and then that happened, and oh my God, there was such a shift in the self-hate somehow get hold of practice, and in quotes, like trying to help me with the practice, and that guidance appointment helped me to see, and just kind of to step out of there, and again I came to the place of like, oh, I can take a deep breath. It's not that I struggle with the practice, you know. I just let self-hate, you know, to be struggling with the practice.
Oh,
so
well put.
Yeah.
See that all of that struggle is self-hate struggle, and you don't have to participate.
Yes, absolutely. And the change of behavior is actually a simple thing, not such a complex endeavor like self-hate or the voice would like to picture it.
Right.
And after that, the change of behavior became so easy as I don't focus on what would happen when I change the behavior. I just do the thing I sign up to do. So. And the practice is simple now and joyful, and it's just amazing.
Sarah, congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm very grateful for Sangha and for guidance appointments and for practice. It's just amazing thing, to have those benefits that I don't even imagine of having them, and then suddenly here they are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and you know, what you're saying, Pasha, is such a commercial for awareness itself, because what you're talking about is in having that guidance appointment and just, you know, talking about what was going on and being reflected and all of those things and receiving guidance, it came into your awareness. You began to actually see what was going on, and by seeing it, it all became simple and doable.
Yes, exactly. And before that appointment, I just couldn't imagine these things. Or when I identified with someone who is struggling with practice, it's in a place of like unable to see that. So,
yeah.
It's such a great thing. And I wanna commit to guidance appointments every time. And doesn't matter what voices say, I'm just gonna do it. That's it.
I love it. And not, because the voices, of course, every time are gonna have some reason. Maybe quiet, subtle, oh no, you don't have anything to talk about, or maybe screaming, you know, that's stupid, why, whatever it is, but they're gonna want to try to talk you out of it. And then you don't even need to consider, now, will this be good, will it not, what will come out of it? Like you said, you don't need to look at the outcome. You just know, this is the commitment I've made. I'm going to keep it because that's what I do. That's who I am.
It's such a joyful place to be. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pasha. Thanks for telling us.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Pasha. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Sorry, this...
Who?
Who's that?
Hi.
Hold on, I got him on now. Okay.
Okay.
Hi.
Now live.
Sorry, am I on now?
Yeah.
You're on, yep.
Sorry, I think my phone was on mute. So this is Justin calling from Toronto.
Great to hear your
voice.
Hi. Hey.
Good to hear your voice, Jen. And hi, Michael.
Hi.
So I'm just calling just to check in. The preamble before the show was like, I want to reiterate what Pasha said. It was really good just to make sure that it's good to get reminded.
Yeah.
Try my rambling here. So
yeah, reminded that self-hate is there. It will try to do what it does, and we don't have to believe it. It's not us.
That's right. So, Jen, the one thing that I have been looking at very recently is I'm a number 6 on the Enneagram, so I guess I'm a loyalist. So for me, it's and dutiful. And so for me, it's very easy to fall into, either overworking or, doing things that are dutiful but may not be compassionate,
yeah.
If that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And,
definitely got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so for me, one of the things, and I've just seen it very recently, is which I'm trying to kind of bring some compassion is, I really take on too much. So it's work, working out, it's spending time with the family. I feel like I have to be dutiful in all of these areas,
yeah.
But I'm not really compassionate to myself, and. Finding that distinction. So the one area, for example, that I'm sick now, and part of the reason I'm sick is I've been working out way too much, working and then working out way too much. And there was points where I keep saying to myself, well, this is good for you. This is what you have to do. You're looking after yourself, so go and work out, even though you're not feeling 100%.
And are you catching the yous in there, Justin?
Well, this is the thing, and it's difficult for me to, and that's why I'm calling in, is that there's that differentiation between what's compassionate and what's good for you and good, kind of in quotations, versus compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a lot of trouble trying to, be able to see that more clearly.
Sort of, you mean looking at discerning the difference between what is a presence who really does want the best for me and, wants me to be healthy and wants to encourage me to work hard and all those things versus what is just self-hate trying to rob me of my life.
That's right. And that's because, I find myself now, I run myself down. So it's so easy for me to run myself down because that's my karmic predisposition.
Yes.
And so, I don't want to find myself, being ill or run down every couple of months kind of thing.
Right.
How do I look after myself?
Yeah, exactly. Because we can guess that for so many of us, that the actual getting sick is a way for the body especially, or really the whole system to say, hey, we have to time out here. If you're not going to give me the rest that I need, then we're just going to make it a necessity.
Exactly. Now, so the question is, can I get to a point where I'm looking after myself so that I don't need to get to this point each time? I mean, it's helpful that I'm seeing it because, this has been a bad season for me as well. Stomach flu a month ago and then now, just regular flu. So, but I can also see how, running myself down really just, the whole cycle just...
Yeah, well, and it's just not a fun way to live.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah. So have you done any work with the mentor around it?
Yes, I have. So the mentor, and this is the problem, the thing is, I'm falling into the trap of, what is the mentor and what is self-hate?
Yep, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
because
go ahead.
So I'll even talk to my. I'll try and bring the mentor in because, for me, I just don't have that much time to look after myself physically. So I'll get to that point, and I'm standing and I'm thinking, okay, should I work out or shouldn't I work out? I'm not feeling very well, but then if you don't do it, you're not looking after yourself. But if if you're not feeling well, the compassionate is to let it slide. And I guess I've got that tendency to think that if you let it slide once, you're pretty much destined to let it slide forever.
Yeah, well, and there's, yeah, exactly. So, one of the things that's sort of an interesting inquiry, if you will, that's a word we're using a lot in practice these days, is whatever the karmic tendency is if erring on one side or the other, err on the side that is not the usual karmic tendency.
Is not, okay.
Right.
That's
so So if you have a history of, you know, push, 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 more is better, harder, 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 and you get to those choice points, you know, if you can't see, if it's not clear to you, you know, which one is conditioning, which one is self-hate and that sort of thing, you know, err on the side of, okay, well, let's not push. Because at very least, what that's going to do is it's going to push the karmic button. Because very likely, the karma is going to go crazy. You know, self-hate's going to, oh, you look at you, slacker, you this, you that. And you're going to get to see all of that. It's going to highlight that for you.
Yeah, just as you're saying that, I recall that very, very vividly. And you know what? That is really good, really good advice. Yeah, because I can see exactly that. Because I'm like standing at the door of the gym and I'm going through this, you know, on one side and then the other. And then, and you're exactly right. My tendency is, you know, just, you know, like I've always said, I don't have a problem with discipline. I mean, I've got a problem of being over-disciplined,
yeah.
Right? And you, yeah. That's like, no, there's no, I mean, and that's why the threat that self-hate has, that, you know, I'll become such a slacker. I mean, I, you know, if only.
Exactly,
so, yeah,
exactly. You know, the discipline that you're working with is the discipline to not do that, to not
yes.
believe those voices that are pushing you that way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
now, that's really
big,
helpful. That's
one big
really helpful.
Clue for me when you were talking earlier was that sense of, you know, you got to do this. This is good for you. And in my experience, no one in my life who I've ever really felt supported by or unconditionally loved by or, you know, wanted to really go to for guidance ever came at me with that kind of energy. That sort of, you know, this is good for you, you have to do it. If there,
yeah.
What my experience of my internal mentor or external mentors is more a turning to me. Well, how would you like it to be? What is it that, what, you know, what do you want to do? You know, I want to run a marathon. Okay, great, I support that. Let's help you move towards the goal of running a marathon. So the mentor to me is the presence that assists us with what our heart really wants. It's not imposing some idea of what's good for us.
Yeah, as you were saying that resonated with me as well. Because, when I think back at all of my mentors, that's exactly the way they would approach it. I mean, external mentors.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because someone coming at us with that, come on, this is good for you. Oh, it's not, it's not uplifting.
That's it. Well, thank you very much, Ken. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah,
well,
you're most welcome, and thank you for calling in. It's a really great topic. You know, and also there's that last resource of making a change for good. You know, compassionate self-discipline. So often people start that book to attempt to keep a commitment. It would be so interesting for you to do it and to see what is it that goes on in the process of being pushed. And maybe, you know, it would be fun. Your commitment might be something like, I commit to not working out more than whatever. You know, it could be kind of the opposite of what most folks are really doing. It'd be fun. And let us know.
Well, I will.
All
Thanks,
right.
Jen.
Thanks, Seth.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Justin. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, I forgot to mention my reminders, which are one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
I was just thinking about that, how diligent Justin was being, trying to get me off the phone.
Yes, great. Jen, we're going to break for an important message here, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
It's Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. I invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing open air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Jen.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jodine calling from San Francisco.
Hey, Jodine.
Hey, I'm calling because of my commitments.
Excellent.
And I didn't actually expect to get on the air tonight because I called late, but here I am. So.
Wow. You just never know how it's going to line up.
Right. So I saw, so there's a lot of things, but the thing that I saw most, that seemed to be kind of big, was I've been aware of a sub-personality that I get identified with, kind of like when I'm down and depressed is like one way I would say it,
uh-huh.
or that's how I used to think of it.
Okay.
But when I'm, the last time I got identified with this part of me, I started to see that the causation, I think, is the other way around. So she is very sad and despairing, kind of. That's the emotional tone.
Uh-huh.
And so I get identified with her, and I think that, like, I get kind of sucked into her world.
Mm-hmm.
Is one way I might put it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the experience that I have with this can be something of like crying,
mm-hmm.
and being almost unable to really stop it, like crying for say an hour or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the last time I had that experience, I came out of it because someone who loves me was with me, trying to comfort me. And I was like, oh, I really should be with this person. And when I came out of it, I was actually, I actually did not know where I was. Like, I was that disoriented
mm-hmm.
from being identified.
Uh-huh. Huh. That's interesting. Mm.
And it was weird. Like, I was sitting in my living room, and for this split second, I didn't know where I was.
You were so completely identified with, it's such a good illustration of that word,
yeah.
with that person and that worldview and that reality that you'd even lost your kind of sense of physically where you were.
Yeah, and like what my life is like now, you know, because this person is really young. And so the two things that, and so one of the things that I've been puzzling over with this experience is, is it a subpersonality or is it actually conditioning? Is it actually self-hate masquerading as a subpersonality, knowing that it can kind of pull me into a really suffering place?
Right.
And so, I realized with that experience, like, okay, I think what's happening is that this person coped with her life by dissociating from it.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was really, really identified with her, I was completely dissociated. I'm talking about like in the psychological sense,
yeah.
you know, of
yeah.
the way they talk about dissociation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a little while later, I I got identified again with her, and I got her talking on my recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that she said was, I don't care what happens to me anymore. And I was like, whoa, what is going on? What is going on there? And I know the feeling, it's a really, really suffering place that she was trying to express. And it's, and when she said it, and I listened to it on the recorder, I was like, oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Over and over in down and depressed times in my life,
mm-hmm.
I have felt that way. And I think she is identified with self-hate at that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's self-hate
right
that doesn't care what happens to me anymore.
Right. Yep. Exactly. It's like a complete dissociation from life, essentially. Because, you know, you said a minute ago that you lost touch with not only where you were physically, but where how your life is now. And so it sounds like in this identification with this very young person, there was some very traumatic set of circumstances that were got so terrible for her on some level that she got to a place where it felt like, I don't care what happens to me anymore. And that what you're feeling like, what you're seeing in there is that in that place, she's identified with self-hate. She's no longer just someone who's sad or having a hard time or really even traumatized. She's identified with the actual hate.
Right, because who I really am cares deeply.
Exactly.
About everything that happens to me.
Yes.
And to her, and
yep.
You know,
and to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think that what seems so big about that is that's why I was confused. Is this self-hate or a sub-personality? Because she was kind of channeling self-hate in that.
Yeah, that's so interesting because
she
is a sub-personality but identified with self-hate.
Yeah. So immediately, I haven't actually been able to. My next task is to get reassurances down for her.
For her. Uh huh.
And I haven't actually been able to word it yet. It's kind of percolating, but.
Uh-huh.
It's basically that there has to be something about this is not you.
Yeah.
Or, you know,
not you. It's not real, and it's not what's happening right now.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's right. It's not. It doesn't ever need to happen again.
Exactly. You know, pull her back to. You know, as Sherry will sometimes say, it's time to get current.
Yeah.
You know, she's not living in that traumatic world anymore. What's that?
I mean, it's kind of like she does. It's like she's stuck there.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, except that when you become her, in a sense, she is living in that traumatic world because she is. I mean, you know, when we look at, you know, everything's happening in the mind, then, you know, it's what all those movies are depicting when they look at, you know, the whole reality, quote, reality, is just the fiction of what's going on in the mind. But when there isn't the perspective to see it, it might as well be the reality. So she essentially is in that traumatic situation when there's no one there to step back and to see that that's what's happening to her and to offer her a hand out. And that's where we get into the, right, distinguishing what's a subpersonality and what's self-hate. Because if we reach the hand into her and offer her to get current and come to present day, where everything's just completely fine, and she doesn't want to do that, then we start to suspect we're not dealing with a subpersonality.
Okay. All right. So I'll keep that. That's good to practice with moving forward because, the next I like that. Get current. That's kind of the next steps that I'll be taking.
You know, because, Jodine, there's the thing about the reassurances, especially in a case like this that occurs to me as we're talking, is that we don't want to be there with her and say, and in a horrible, you know, hideous, tortured kind of a place and say, no, it's okay, it's okay that you're tortured like this. So we don't want to sit with her in that torture and reassure her. We need to pick her out of it and show her that torture doesn't have to happen. You know, we need to take her out of it. So it's not about leaving her in the middle of that illusion, but truly removing the illusion. Because there you are in your living room. You're with someone who loves you. Everything is completely fine. I mean, beyond fine.
Yes.
You know? And so there needs to be some grown-up to come in there and give that perspective of, you know, so I don't know, maybe the reassurances would be something along the lines of, well, you said it. It's not real. It's not happening. I know you feel really real. I know, but it's not happening. Stop and look at where you are. Look at what's so, what's true, you know, what's really happening right now in this moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've had a reassurance for a long time of like that I care about you very much. Like that's one of my reassurances. That and I think it was it stemmed from this, but yeah, I think there needs to be like kind of what would be great would be like a catalog of because I care about you, I do this, and because I care about you, we do this.
Yeah.
You know, like
because
like
I care about you, we don't believe those voices.
Yes.
Yeah. Whatever it takes, we just don't believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So thanks for the pointers.
Yeah. Welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Jen.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Jen. Hi, Michael. This is Catherine from St. Louis.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi. Hey. This is so interesting. I called tonight to talk about self-hate. And that's what we're all talking about. It
very timely.
Yes, very. I had noticed just a real assault from self-hate in about the last 3 weeks or so. Just really kind of intense. And it started, and I did see it, and it was interesting because I was seeing it and putting up with it for a while.
Yeah. Ooh, that's good.
And then finally it occurred to me, you know, I really don't have to put up with this. So I started recording and listening about it.
Okay. And can I just say, since the topic has come up this evening, thank you for, you just illustrated what the mentor comes in with. You know, you don't have to put up with that.
Right.
I mean, and that's at least I can feel it in my body as you say it. That's a loving message. That's a message that
really serves me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it felt like I kind of remember when when the awareness came, you know, I can just record and listen and not having to put up with this. It felt like it was an awareness.
Yeah.
Somehow. And and then it started, and the mentor took care of that very nicely. And then I saw it started, in the Good News update, you were talking about how insidious. It started coming in with criticizing my practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not practicing enough, you're not committed enough, and you're not a good meditator. You know, started on, you know, was just starting to pick apart. And so that's another reason I called the show, because it was just, you're not practicing enough. And I thought, okay, I'm going to call the open air and practice.
Good for you.
Love it.
Again, it's back to what we were looking at with, with Pasha, just keeping the commitments, because it's who I am, you know. just, it's such a big, huge indication that you're not believing the self-hate. Oh, you're not practicing properly. And instead, you know, what we're supposed to do is just kind of curl up in a ball in the corner and, oh, it's true and I'm bad and I'm wrong and all those things. And instead, you just stand up and go, great, I'm going to practice because I love practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call the show.
It can be very believable. I mean, I was falling for it and just letting it happen and not even kind of realizing that that's what I was doing.
Well, and that's, I was actually going to ask about that, so that's perfect. Not, you know, letting it happen, yes, you know, maybe on some level we could say that, but at least in my experience, the critical piece is it was happening on some level under the radar screen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even though once you turn and see it, it seems like, wow, that's obvious. How could that have been
mm-hmm.
under the radar screen? But it was, for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
for whatever period of time. It just, you just weren't seeing it
mm-hmm.
for what it was. And then
mm-hmm.
something happened, you know, and it's practice. You're just, it's
mm-hmm.
so perfect, Catherine, the way you're laying it out. Whether it's, you know, Tasha calling in for a guidance appointment or, you know, you RNLing or, you know, just calling into the radio show, listening to the radio show, something will bring us back to, oh, wait, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
And as soon as
yeah.
we are aware of what's going on there, then we can make the choice we want to make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know it's picking on practice because boy, it would sure like for me to not be practicing, you know. So it's
right.
like trying, you know, you
yeah. make its life much easier. You wouldn't practice.
Yeah, yeah. So taught me well. You might as well give up. I mean, you're just so pitiful, you know, at practice. You can't do it.
You know,
so
it would be interesting to know. I bet you, if we were together as an entire sangha and did one of those. So does anyone else hear the? Does anyone else
mm-hmm.
self-hate end in the? You know, you should really just stop practicing. I can't imagine every single hand in the sangha would go.
Mm-hmm.
I would think.
Yeah, yeah, and also it's. I was kind of just looking at the fact that this seems to have been really intense in the last few weeks, and what's happening is I'm taking on more challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of stretching myself.
Uh-huh.
Learning to love learning
uh-huh.
is part of that. I'm teaching a class for some patrons of our library. I work at the library. It's one of my jobs. And
uh-huh.
On Thursday, and conditioning is trying to get me really nervous and, you know, scared I'm going to fail, and
right.
self-hate's trying to get in there. And this is something brand new. I've never done this before.
Wow.
At the library, you know. So
yeah.
it's brand new, and I'm putting myself out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are so many practice opportunities that feels
yeah.
like yeah, I'm stretching
yeah.
myself there too.
Yeah, and no wonder self-hate is going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah.
So
I mean, you start doing a lot of that. Thanks. Going to be hard to keep you down.
Mhm. Mhm. So, well, good. Well, I'm glad I called in. And
I'm just curious, Catherine. Are you seeking support from the mentor for your adventure on Thursday?
Oh, what a good idea, Jen. What a great idea! I most certainly will. I've been aware of a just kind of a conversation of I'm probably over prepared at this point. You know, I mean, I'm probably just sort of obsessive, or I've got a voice telling me you're being obsessive. You're being
uh-huh.
obsessive. Of course, if I wasn't preparing, it would be, well, you're not preparing.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I'm kind of you know, I don't think I've recorded and listened about this.
Yeah. Oh, see, perfect.
I haven't.
Because self-hate is, you know, the only one weighing in on how the day is going to go and how you should, you know, be worried and blah, blah, blah. But,
mm-hmm.
boy, I'll bet the mentor is excited for you. That's what I project.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I can hear a good for you coming from the mentor right now
yeah.
for, you know, stepping up to the plate. So
exactly. And with
yeah.
that, kind of just the adventure of it. I mean, it's brand
mm-hmm.
new. It's so brand new
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, let's just throw the standards out the window from the get-go.
Yeah, and throw the standards out, and this can be a learning to love learning. And
then calling it the show on Thursday, because the first show is on Thursday.
That's right. That's right.
A reminder email coming out very soon about that.
Okay, good. Okay, yeah, that's right. It is Thursday. And yeah, and I can actually maybe even enjoy this experience.
Could happen.
That would be exciting. Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So, well, I'm awfully glad I called in. It's just participating just has really helped. And take that conditioning.
Yeah. Exactly.
Take that self-hate. I wanted to call in and tattle on self-hate because it was after me, so
for you.
This helped a lot.
Good for you. Inspiring
okay.
for all of us.
Well, thanks a lot. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Michael.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air. That was fun.
The Going Beyond Self-Hate show, Michael.
Yes, it is.
I wish I could tag the archives. Wouldn't it be fun so you could like look for little themes and
yeah. Yeah, the themes just kind of emerge, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, it's great. Jen, we're gonna hear from our sponsor and then we'll be right back.
Great.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Jen.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. I'm just calling for support.
Good for you.
Because there's a lot of things going on right now, and I need to reach out.
Excellent.
So I'm working on a plan to do that. What's coming up as soon as I'm trying to formulate this plan is I'm just getting hit with feelings of overwhelm. I get the, or I'm trying to move towards the, I know it, so I don't have to believe it.
Good.
Part of, I know that it's not real, so I don't have to believe it. But what's happening is the body sensation of tightness. Tightness in my chest and not really a panic feeling, but going towards that.
Yeah. And, you know, such a big clue that it isn't you and it's not on your side is that in a situation like you're going into right now where you have a lot going on and you need to be making plans to support yourself and all those kinds of things, to add overwhelm on top of it, that's not helpful. You know? So it's like, I mean, what we need is a coach on our side who's going to help us, you know, be relaxed and okay and focused and clear and here and present, because those are all the things that are going to assist us with really being able to provide ourselves and those around us with the support that we need. The overwhelm clouds it all up and makes it that much more difficult.
Yeah, because it just puts one more layer
exactly.
on what is already there
yeah.
and makes it heavier.
Yeah.
At least that's how it feels.
Yes. So to me, that's just a, you know, one extra, seeing that is one extra way of realizing, wait a minute, this clearly does not have my best interest at heart. So we don't need to believe it. Now, what I'm hearing you say is, okay, but the sensations are still there.
Right. Uh-huh. It doesn't necessarily make the sensations go away.
Yeah, yeah.
So my task right now, or what I'm faced with at the moment, is feeling the feelings, letting it be there, and then going on about my business in whatever way I have to, and throwing in some exercise to try to, to clear that up.
Yeah.
So, and I did that today.
Uh-huh.
So,
How was that?
It was good. While I was out, I took my lunch break to walk my dog.
Good.
And it was a beautiful day, and I was able to get out and do that. And it felt great while I was out, but of course that's only half an hour. Mm-hmm. And so, then I get back into it. And when I get back into feeling all the piles that are piling up from work and everything from home, and then so my husband's going on the month long, so he's going to be gone for a month. So, I'm getting into all of that and feeling it all at once. It just kind of throws the walk out of the window. The walk was great, but, obviously it needs to be something that I can repeat every day.
Yeah.
And then obviously do other things.
Yes.
Which, like I said, I'm working on my plan to do that, to set everything up.
Yep. Yeah.
For support.
And Lisa, so you go out on the walk, and that feels good, and it sounds like a little bit of a respite. And then you come back in, and are you aware of the conversation closing back in?
Yes, and it isn't, it's pretty subtle. It isn't the conversation of, it's not obvious where I'm hearing, wow, you have so much to do and you're never going to accomplish it and you can't do this. And it's not obvious in that way. It's just it creeps back in things like a list in my head.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to do this, 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 I got to do this. And it just keeps going. The I got to do's, which actually are true.
Yes.
So it's kind of hard to...
And are those things on
the evidence?
Are those things on a physical list anywhere, or are they only in your head?
They get on a physical list.
Okay.
I love stickies right now.
I know.
I'm putting stickies everywhere.
Yeah. I have
things that can help me, remind me of good things and things that are on my list.
Excellent. And I'll give you a little something I love to do here at the monastery. So, they put all the to-dos on stickies. Clean the hermitages and, all the things that need to be orchestrated, right? And then, so they go on the big list, and then you decide which ones you're going to do in any given time. And then when they're finished, they go on the complete list. They get moved.
Like that.
You're going to be surprised at how many stickies there are on that complete chart. And it is such a fly in the face of the voices because they don't want us to see that. But if you were to every time, every day, you pulled one of those stickies when you walked the dog, you fed the dog, you got the kids their lunches, you did the papers that needed to get corrected. If those stickies all got moved to that complete thing, that chart would be just by far the most populated chart in your house. So there's that.
I like that. I like that.
And the other thing that I love about to-do lists for myself is a little guideline around, okay, when it occurs to me, because maybe I'm walking my dog and I suddenly remember, oh, right, I need to make sure I such and such. Right when I remember it, either if I've got the list with me, I write it on the list, or if I don't, I can make a little recording on my phone and, later listen to that and put it on. But that's the only conversation we're having about that thing until it's time to do it.
Okay, yeah.
And there's no... what made me think of it is that thing you said a minute ago of going back over and over and don't forget, you still have to, and you also have the, but there's no point in that. All that's doing is just torturing the being.
Right. I don't see too much of that. It just, there's all these things that occur to me at times when I don't have something to write them down on.
Yeah.
So I'm not in my classroom, I'm not in my house. I might be walking down the hallway at school and it's like, oh, I need to do that.
And
all these things will occur to me often when I'm not So I need to carry a sticky pad around with me.
Yeah, or your recorder. Which would be
or my recorder.
That would be a handy thing to be carrying around with you all the time anyway.
Right.
You just never know when you're going to need to check in with the mentor or need to hear a little support or have an insight that comes through or remember what you need to pick up at the grocery store.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. There's some helpful things there. And one of the things I am going to try to do for the month is to call the show every week, whether I get through or not. Today it worked,
You know, that's so great, Lisa, because it's such a great content thing, but also just the process of what that signifies of you get it, what the priorities are, you know?
Yeah, I need to be there for me.
And be
compassionate for myself and everything that's going on, always, of course, but especially this month because there's so much on my plate.
Yeah, you know that... But there's nothing more important than that. You know, there's tons of details. There's so much to attend to. There's so much for all of us. And some of it will get done and some of it won't. But to lose sight of, you know, to sacrifice compassion or love or whatever word we want to put in there in order to get some things done, you know, no way. That's not how we want to live.
Right. It's not worth it.
Not worth it. It's not worth it. Yep.
All right.
Good.
Well,
so
thank
I guess
you very much.
From you lots.
And I will call back next week.
Very good.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Okay.
Good night.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air. Well, that was fun and inspiring.
It was, huh?
Yeah, it was great. Great.
Yeah.
And I love your idea of the post-its and moving them to the completed. I'm going to start that practice tomorrow.
You know, I confess I've only done it in my sort of, you know, the work areas that I'm responsible for, but I think I'm going to do it too in all areas because it really is fun. I mean, I just started it as a practical thing, you know, just as a way to track where things are and what's what, but
yeah.
It is very fun to walk into that room and see all those stickies on that complete list because, again, conditioning would never let, at least me, see that. It would never say, you know, you guys are accomplishing an outrageous amount of things. It feels like, not really. I mean, we have way more to do. But it's not true. We do a lot in a day, all of us.
Yes. Yes, we do. That's great. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Jen. Hey, Michael, it's Tracy.
Tracy?
Hey, I'm so glad I got on the phone. And it feels like I'm kind of calling in with the same theme that the other callers are calling in, theme of a lot of self-hate and a theme of really seeing a lot of pushing energy. And I've been homesick. This is day number 8. And I have a really bad cold and a bronchitis, and I just got hit really hard. It's been interesting just being home alone and, like, not being able to attend to much. There's been someone that's been really caring. And this force of, being with the force that's not caring at all has been hard to sometimes get away from.
Yeah. Kind of that being alone can be wonderful, but it can also be difficult if what you're alone with is self-hate.
Yeah, and it's just been... the timing is, like, both been... I think a way, like, a blessing. I've, like, seen this just, like, real, like, I've gotten really in touch with the subpersonality. It's just trying so hard. And so it's been, like, great to kind of be there. But there's been a lot of, like, work challenges, and so it's, like, kicking up a lot of fear. Yeah, so it's, yeah, so I guess, you know, I'm, yeah, it just feels like, you know, I've spent so many hours just like listening to recordings and my own recordings, and that part's been really good. Yeah, it's just been still been really challenging.
So really seeing a little part of you, a young part, who tries really, really hard. And that, would you say that the work challenges are, is she the one who's getting afraid by that?
Yeah, probably, because it feels like my efforts aren't being, like, it's just I'm getting the information from life that, you know, like my efforts aren't being supported. And so I just keep trying harder.
Right.
And, you know, I think she's just worn out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's interesting, you said a minute or so ago that you felt like that it was kind of good timing.
Well, it's I think it's good timing in that, like, it's, I think that's a personality who just wants to, like, keep going and keep pushing and, like, make it all okay, you know, has to get so much air time. And, you know, like, I guess my heart, or there's just someone that's just, you know, like, worn out.
Yeah. Boy, it's amazing, Tracy, isn't it? It's so not comfortable usually, but to be pushed to the place of really being forced almost in a sense to look at some of our deepest pieces of karma.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and it's,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, and it's and you know, like, I guess just seeing it, and then, you know, similar to at the monastery, you know, all these just horrible dreams come in, and,
yeah,
you know, it's just like kicking up so much, you know, fear about security, and and yeah, so it just feels like it's like been the dark night of the soul for over a week.
Yeah. Boy. And just, you know, in that, the knowing what a huge difference it makes to truly see through. I mean, I'm sure there's just so many beliefs that part of you holds, the one who's working really, really, really hard and getting afraid and it doesn't feel like it's going well, and so she's trying to work harder and that isn't working. That realizing on some level those beliefs are running the show.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, it's like, you know, it's all up to her, and, you know, she's all alone, and,
yeah,
you know, she's just got to keep going, and it's all going to fall apart, and, you know, there's no one that's going to be there to pick her up, and so, yeah, I mean, it's very much running the show, and I think, you know,
go ahead. Well, I was just going to say that, so what conditioning tells us in that place is, you've got to, you know, work harder in your case. You've got to work harder. We've got to get it so that we can, you know, be okay. But of course, I mean, what's possible is this much deeper, unbelievable okay of none of those things are true. You know, it isn't true that she has to work hard to be okay. It isn't true that, you know, no one's going to be there for her. It isn't true that, you know, none of those things are true.
Yeah, it's funny, it's in that, I think the part that's weird, it's like in that, like, transition place of there's nothing else here, and so it is that, like, there almost has to be a leap of faith that, you know, just like everything has been in life, everything has worked out, and everything has been okay,
yep,
But it just feels like I'm in that place of, you know, like stepping into that, you know, that whole that kind of vortex of, and then of course self-hate comes in and, you know, questions if I'm ever going to feel good and am I ever going to be of any contribution to any other business because, you know, you don't have energy. And so, you know, then I get, you know, blasted. I get evaluated on the lack of energy I have.
Boy, that's cruel.
It is cruel, and, you know, it's been helpful listening because, I mean, yesterday I was so in it and knowing I was in it, and I recorded, and, you know, and I knew I was, you know, I knew it wasn't an identification. It was more of just that nasty, you know, evil force, and it just wouldn't let up.
Yep.
And so I don't know other than just stop it if you have any other wisdom.
Well, and to me, what keeps coming up as we're talking is just unbelievably radical kindness. Unbelievably radical kindness. I mean, I could see stop it. You know, as you say that, I get this image of several players. So there's self-hate just coming at this little person. You know, this little, sweet person who thinks she has to work really hard, you know, and she's just getting slammed by self-hate. And so, you know, I could see the stop it being directed towards self-hate and sort of being the interference so that she's no longer available to self-hate.
Yeah.
And to me, the interacting with her is not the stop it, but the, you know, just so much kindness, you know, and just whatever it would be, making her the kind of tea she wants, you know, tucking her into bed, playing her recordings, you know, whatever the things are that just truly comfort her and take care of her. And
that's good to hear. And it's good to hear. And, you know, just like being with my body, you know, trying to be really gentle with the sickness, you know, I can just even feel that energy, like, in my muscles of, like, oh, my God, I got to keep going. Like, I got to, you know, try to at least do what I can with work. And, you know, I got to just, you know, keep, you know. And, you know, I remember, like, Sherry talking about being sick and how you don't do anything, And it's just, I think it's been hard for me, just being self-employed and living alone, that there's just been extra components that have been, you know, coming at me on that end.
And maybe with those things, really, really looking at, does this really need to be done? You know, like, okay, we need to eat. So, yes, preparing food, that does need to be done.
Yeah.
But do I really have to check email right now?
Yeah.
You know, maybe sometimes the answer is yes, but more than likely, most often, we can postpone it.
Yeah. That's a good check-in. Just doesn't really have to happen.
You know, just the last thing that occurs to me, Tracy, is that, you know, it's so interesting what we've been talking about during this whole show, and not just here, but I, you know, in talking to folks in various different forms of practice over the last couple of weeks, it seems like there's a heck of a lot of self-hate out there, in particular resistance, but self-hate in particular.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just, I don't know, somehow it's comforting to know that, in that I just get this sense of, like, you know, we're a team going up against a really hard thing.
Yeah,
and each of us is doing our part and doing the best we can, and we're not going to let each other down, you know. I mean, we're in the sense of we're all doing it for ourselves, but we're doing it together.
Yeah, that is very comforting. It really is. And I always, you know, my biggest fear is, like, I'm going to lose my home and, you know, everything. I'm going to lose everything. And you know, the only humor that I get is, well, I can just move to the monastery. Then if I lose everything, I'll just move to the monastery. So that always brings a little comfort, too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we always have practice.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Jen.
You're most welcome. Take really, really good care, huh?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good night, Tracy.
All right, good night, Michael.
Good night. Thank you for joining us, Tracy. You've been listening to Open Air. Big compassion show, Jen. That's what I got.
Big compassion. I know. I'm sorry I took us past, but it just felt like it was so worth it.
Yes, indeed.
It's such a good reminder, the force that we're up against and the courage and the huge wholeheartedness of people's willingness to keep practicing.
Yeah, it's really astounding and inspiring, and really helps my willingness muscle to hear everybody so willing and committed.
Yeah, yeah. Helps me remember when I go to those really difficult places that, oh, right, this is what happens. I'm adequate to it. If they can all do it, I can do it.
Yeah, yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank
all
you
right.
so much, Jen.
Michael,
it was great.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Good night.